Hanukkah Sameach, which began Sunday evening for 8 days. Welcome to the Shofar Ministry Program. My name is Dan with my lovely wife and dedicated Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. And we always like to remind our listeners, should you want to re-listen to this or any of our other radio programs or newsletters, that they are all archived on shofarministries.net. A wealth of knowledge there. And we hope that you'll share this labor of love with others. Let's ask for God's blessing. Abba Father, we worship and glorify you. As we hold in our hands these recent prayer requests, especially for our worship leader, Melanie, and we curse the root of all types of cancer in any fellow believer that is listening right now. Grant us all divine protection from our adversary, and please soften the hearts of our family and loved ones who still need salvation. Thank you for your many provisions and abundantly bless our faithful givers who help us to stay on the air. Lord, may you be pleased by tonight's teaching as we pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear. Okay, well, for the last 2 weeks, the topic has been all about Hanukkah. And, you know, we do need yearly refreshers on that so we can be sharp when asked questions about this miraculous event. Tonight, we want to quickly summarize its importance and then look at it on a personal level. What does Hanukkah mean to you? What can you learn from it? And how to benefit by a deeper understanding of this miracle in so many ways where it goes far beyond the surface story.
But first, let's do an update on the news, which lately is happening a lot.
Boy, you're right there. No sooner did we update the news on last week's program and the day after we mailed the newsletter, exactly what we predicted would happen occurred here, as it did in Paris. We are in a war like no other, where anyone can be on the front lines at any time.
As in a married couple leaves their baby with grandma,
yeah,
then goes to a holiday party. Yeah, to murder his co-workers who not long ago threw them a baby shower.
It's unimaginable. Mm-hmm. And the facts are still coming out, but it really smells to me. And since you can almost never believe what you are told on mainstream media, because they are told what to report, including Fox News. But I keep an open mind, especially since there are some conflicting reports. Eyewitnesses originally, oh, not now, but originally reported seeing three light-skinned shooters, and none looked like a 90-pound woman who conveniently, along with the other shooter, was killed. Perhaps so they couldn't talk?
A scenario often replayed.
Yes, it is. And why hasn't any reporter spoken with the others who were injured? And how did the SWAT team get there so fast?
Oh, yeah. They conveniently were conducting SWAT team drills nearby.
And how convenient that reporters were allowed to go in and tape inside their house within hours after the police first examined the house. You know, normally it would take, I think, days to get permission to go inside and video for the simple reason of possible contamination of evidence. Unless, of course, they wanted everyone to believe it was this couple. But why?
Yeah, unheard of. To arouse civil unrest.
Yeah. And to add more reasons for gun control.
Which in itself is absurd because we need guns to protect ourselves.
Anyhow, these kind of things are going to continue, especially since, well, they're already telling us it will continue. But at the heart of it all, they want rebellion to rise up. And Mr. Trump is really fueling that fire. We are being set up to start a civil war so Obama can institute martial law. Well, we'll see. And I really hope I'm wrong. I really do. But remember who our real enemy is. demonically inspired thugs that can go around killing people, for one, and the rich orchestrators of all this, who, by the way, paid these two a lot of money, and they represent the peak of demonization. You know, they have been setting the stage for decades on how to cause such chaos that people will beg for and succumb to anything that assures us of peace. Well, that man of peace is already here and ready to come out of the closet, but we know the real man of peace is soon right behind him. Now, of course, in the meantime, our freedoms keep disappearing. And this latest fiasco, well, it's being blamed on the fact that Congress just passed the Freedom Act, and that was in June, that said, as of November 29th, the NSA can no longer continue its mass surveillance without a warrant. How convenient. This just happened. So, of course, that is why our intelligence, they couldn't catch these two.
Kind of a punishment for Congress. It's their fault.
Well, that's what they're saying. And there's plenty of innuendos to this very fact, and I've been listening to them on the left-wing channels. So, again, you got to do your own research. Just know Jesus is really coming soon, and these things must happen. And this really is not a surprise to anyone who reads God's Word. He warned us it was coming, Matthew 24, and told us not to worry because it all turns out good in the end. We know the rest of the story. And in all actuality, this kind of thing kind of, I would say, encourages us to long for Him even more. So to rededicate our lives to Him. And we are right now in a great season to do just that. Just like the Maccabees rededicated their temple, we should as well, because Paul said our bodies are a temple too.
Amen. A quick reminder, you can send your end time questions by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Your love offerings are needed and greatly appreciated, which automatically puts you on our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning. And the first Friday of every month, Shofar Assembly gathers for worship and a timely Bible study. So make an effort to join us at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland, Ohio.
Oh, and by the way, the next assembly will be on January 1st at 7 p.m. And if you come at 6:30, since it is the traditional New Year's Day, you can partake of our homemade soups and challah bread for a little treat.
Yeah, also we'll be in Mentor at Lakeshore Assembly of God on January 14th, and that's a Thursday, weather permitting.
That's right. Okay, well, let's move on. From the last two programs, we saw the tyrant ruler Antiochus Epiphanes miraculously defeated by Judah and the Maccabees. And after thoroughly cleansing the temple, it was rededicated to God.
The Hebrew word for dedication is Hanukkah.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for pointing that out. And we saw another miracle of where the special olive oil that should have only lasted one day actually lasted 8 days till more oil could be properly processed. But that's where most people stop and never see the other huge miracle that occurred on the eighth day of Hanukkah almost 200 years later. And we taught on that last week, and that is the incarnation of Jesus into Mary's womb by the Holy Spirit.
Now, that is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And if you missed the last two studies, you can go to shofarministries.net and listen.
Or re-listen.
Or re-listen again.
That's right.
Because it truly is quite amazing.
And yet, when you put it in perspective, it is just like God to arrange it that way.
Yes, it is.
Actually, He does a lot of things on memorable dates. Mm-hmm. I guess you could call him a date setter.
No doubt. By the way, what finally happened to Antiochus?
Well, according to historical writings, within weeks, apparently he died suddenly a madman. I guess he went insane, and he had certain manifestations of divine displeasure.
A judgment of God, no doubt.
I agree. And his sudden death is just one example out of many of the demise of those who have come against the Jewish people. The Seleucid kingdom quickly began to weaken and fell into irreparable decline.
The Bible is clear that God will judge the nations over their treatment of the Jewish people.
You know, yeah, both Old Testament and New Testament teach this, and the principle has been played out over and over throughout history. You know, the Hebrew people were his first election, and he did not just choose them, but created them through Sarah, who was way past childbearing years. And he takes their treatment by others very seriously. And more than this, God uses Israel to test the hearts of the nations, thereby exposing either their goodness, which leads to blessing, or their evil intent, which leads to judgment. You can say that Israel exposes what is in the heart of people. Israel represents a moral and ethical challenge. It presents it to the world, and therefore has become the ultimate fault line. You know, they do contribute more to the human cause through its scientific, technological, and financial advances than probably any other country in the world, except the United States, and has grown into one of the most productive economies in the world.
Great produce from there.
And it's like a test that Israel presents to the world again. What is a country's attitude towards the Israeli people who excel them in the creation of wealth or in other accomplishments? You know, do these nations aspire to their excellence, or do they hate them for it and seek to tear it down? And does God pay close attention to that?
Well, he says he does in his word.
Right.
Could it be that God is using the same test within the church?
I would say so.
I think so.
Because in Romans 11, the Apostle Paul addresses the attitude of the Roman church towards the Jewish people. He warned the believers to make sure their attitude was humble and honoring of the Jewish people. He even cautioned them about possible judgment by God if their attitude was not right. A church that honors its Hebraic roots as the wild branches that are grafted into the olive tree, because that's us, they'll receive great strength and nourishment. But to dishonor the very root that supports our faith brings one's spiritual decline. Antiochus Epiphanes failed the Israel test, and his kingdom is long gone. Others throughout history have also fallen short on the test and experienced decline. Oh my. Today our nation is declining. Once the real believers are caught up, judgment will fall on America. And that's really a no-brainer. In fact, Jeremiah 30:11 says so. Check it out yourself. We are now having television programs that esteem sodomy and the occult. What more proof do you need? Well, you can add the program called Lucifer that begins airing on Fox News Channel in January. But then, is it any worse than the Catholic Church naming its telescope after Lucifer? But now let's look more at this winter Feast of Dedication. Because, you know, there's another Feast of Dedication in the fall season, which is called Tabernacles. That's when he was actually born. And that's why he differentiated the fact that the one that is talked about in John 22 was in the winter. And it says, again, John 22, that Jesus was in the temple for the Feast of Dedication, and it was winter. Jesus knew it was the anniversary of his incarnation as a man, so he could serve us as the ultimate sinless sacrifice to pay the debt for our sins. So we see at this time, and we read in verse 30, that this is when Jesus declared his divinity, when he said to all who were there, "I and my Father are one." Think about that. On the anniversary date of his incarnation, he would make such a claim. You know, such details so often go unnoticed. And of course, as I've taught many times, 280 days after his incarnation into Mary, he was born on the other feasts of dedication, and that was in the fall. And he will return again in the fall. James, in his writings, refers to that fact in chapter 5, at the harvest. But now we need to look at another aspect of this important feast, and that's the dedication part of the temple. Tonight we want to talk about your temple. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" And actually, we must have all three in us, because it's the Holy Trinity. And we have scripture to back that up. Ephesians 4, 5, and 6 says, "There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." That's powerful. And Colossians 1, 26 and 27 says, "The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." So there it is. We have the Trinity living inside of us. So have you defiled your temple? Does it need to be rededicated? What a better time to do that during this Feast of Dedication. Why do you think there is no temple in Jerusalem anymore? Because God dwells in us. He doesn't need a temple. So, why will there be another one built in Jerusalem? Because we will be gone, and everything goes back to the way it was before the church was birthed. For Daniel's 70th week, that last 7 years to complete the 490-year prophecy that was stopped for the church interval, that gap of time to allow the Gentiles to experience God's love. Well, have you honored that love? Have you always honored that love? Are there areas that maybe you need to repent for? Well, tonight's the night. You need to rededicate your temple. We all need to rededicate our temples. All of it. Spirit, soul, and body. Your flesh, too. Is there any part of your life where you might have drifted away? How is your speech? How is your tongue? What about gossip? You know, worldly talk? Are you a negative person? Are you critical? Do you complain a lot instead of praising God for what we have? I think we're all a little bit guilty of that once in a while. Tonight, you can rededicate all of that. The way you are speaking. Do you have any anger issues? Your temperament? What about addictions? Have you slowly started being addicted to anything? Obviously, drugs, even prescription drugs. What about alcohol? Too much TV? What about sports? Is that taking you away from time spent in the Word? Any type of immorality, unclean jokes, you know. And by the way, sex outside of marriage is still a sin. And then what about the occult? You know, you're not reading your horoscopes, I hope. And of course, what about unforgiveness? That's a biggie. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal any areas needed to repent for. And then rededicate yourself. And by the way, mean it. God will know. Okay. So you think you've gotten by pretty well with what I've already mentioned? Well, here comes the important one. Have you drifted away from studying the Word? Slowly even? Spending less and less time as time goes on? You see, the Word can help you avoid stumbling into those pitfalls most common to the flesh. Read Psalm 119 again, especially verse 9, where it says the Word cleanses you. So is it time to rededicate yourself? Get on your knees right now, for it is the time. And I pray that you will use the story of Hanukkah to open the door to conversation that will lead to witnessing and to hopefully bring someone back whose light might be going out. I think we all know people like that. Ask God to put someone in your path and then be obedient. Sometimes the Word says we have to reprove a brother. So you might have to be blunt. You know, like saying, I detect your inner light is getting dim. Let me help you. And then point them to the Word. If you have never made Jesus Lord over your life, invite Him into your heart right now, while there is yet time. We're running out of time. And now I'd like to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. And this, of course, comes from number 6, 22 through 27. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yunecha. Yasa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem laha shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you, and He's going to give you that peace, that shalom that passes all understanding. There's nothing like it. It helps get you through these days of lots of evil all around us. The darkness seems to encompass us all over, but we are the light. We have Jesus in us. And we can share that light with others. Help others that might be going through a struggling time right now. Show them love, compassion, and just help them. So till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. And that's in every area of your life. Love Jerusalem. Because when you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, you're praying for Jesus' soon return, for the Messiah to come and show Himself and to rule and reign for 1,000 years. God bless you all. See you next week. And don't forget, Psalm 122:6 tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And this week, read all of Psalm 119. You'll be blessed. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.